11th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. While Mike gets us on the air. Okay. Hebrews 11. I'm going to read verses 6 and 7 today. The title of my sermon today is Heroes of Faith. Heroes of Faith. Of course, Hebrews 11, there are a bunch of those listed. Today I will just get to Noah, God willing, with a little bit of introductory. But let me read Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 6 and 7, okay? Hebrews 11, verses 6 and 7. Please pray, continue to pray. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, I'm calling this Heroes of Faith. The first one, obviously, I'd like to speak to you about is Noah. There are others that went before him. I could talk to you about Enoch, who walked with God, and he walked with God to such a degree. This is prior to Noah. He walked with God to such a degree that God took him. That means God translated him. Took him to heaven bodily. Do y'all believe that? You people at home can say amen too. But I want to start with Noah today, but let's look at verse 6 before we get to verse 7. And what got me started on this, I was talking to a very dear friend. Remember when Kobe Bryant died in the plane crash? Y'all remember that? I don't know how long ago that's been. What? A couple of months maybe? And they started calling Kobe Bryant a hero. And I looked at the record, I Googled it, you know. I don't know if he was convicted of rape, but he was tried for it. You know? That's not very heroic behavior. And so I immediately fell to thinking about real heroes. I was talking to Brother Harold the other day, and isn't it curious whom we make heroes out of these days? We make heroes out of athletes. And I'm going to confess to you that when I watch athletic programs, my mind is blown by what those people can do. Right? I mean, it's unbelievable. How long has it been since you tried to slam dunk? By the way, now that I say that, don't go home, try that at home. Now that I said that, don't try that at home. You ever try that? Anyway. Movie stars. And they might can act and play a part, but are they heroes? You know what I'm saying? Musicians. That's getting closer to my territory. Now that I mentioned, I didn't write this down on my list. You know, authors, that's really close to my territory. By the way, some of the, let me assure you that some of the greatest authors were not heroes. Let me assure you of that. But we, you know, musicians, we make heroes out of musicians. And this, I don't mean this to be ugly. And some of the people these days that are in the music industry, I wouldn't classify as musicians. But anyway, that's just me. And politicians, we make heroes out of politicians, don't we, in America? And I'm not speaking against those people necessarily. You know what I'm saying? I'm not speaking against them necessarily. Those people, they do things that are hard to do, to be sure, right? They do things that are hard to do, in fact, that most of us simply can't do. I can't dunk. I don't think I could dunk with a trampoline. When I was a kid, I burned and yearned and thought I would die if I could not play running back for somebody in the NFL. 130 pounds. Look at those hands. I'm not belittling these people as such, but, and they do things that are hard to do, and they do things that maybe some of us can't do, right? And they've got talents and abilities, right? But the heroes of the faith, the heroes of faith that I'd like to talk about, they don't do things that are just hard to do. According to verse 6, they do things that, unless you have faith, are impossible to do. Are you hearing me? So look at verse 6. Without faith. Okay, let me pause right there and remind you that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith is not something that you drum up. It's not something that is innate in man. It is not something that is automatically part of human nature. Faith. Right? Man by nature does not have faith. The scriptures are explicitly clear about that. Thessalonians says, all men have not faith. We would say, not everybody has faith. You want to know why not everybody has faith? Not everybody's born again. And faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's what that means. That is a mind-blowing statement, which I don't have a long time enough to really go into, but I mean, just think about all the things in the Bible that the scriptures are explicitly clear would please God, and without faith you can't do them. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, all right, can a person without faith come to God? Absolutely not. And he that comes to God, he does that as a byproduct or a result of the fact that he or she possesses faith. Right? He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, I understand that to teach that believing that God is, that is, believing in the existence of God, believing in the existence of the God of the Bible, is part and parcel of having faith. In other words, a person who does not have faith does not believe in the existence of the God of the Bible. They're going to worship something. People worship stuff. Sometimes we worship athletes. Sometimes we worship movie stars, musicians, politicians, and novelists. Worship God. I want to ask you, does it, let me ask you this, does it please God if we worship Him? Is God pleased when we worship him? Well, then you must have faith to worship God. This says by faith it is impossible to please. Without faith it's impossible to please him. Y'all follow me now? I mean, that's an amazing statement when you think about it. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And not only that he is, but believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? Do you believe that God's going to stand by and not reward those that diligently seek him? Can you imagine God doing that? No, you can't. I can't either. Do you really believe that God, that the God of the universe always does right? Do you believe that he never does wrong? Do you actually believe that the God of the universe, the God of the Bible, never harms people without just cause, that he's not mean, he's not vindictive, that he's not ornery, he's not, you know. Do you actually believe that the God of the Bible is 100% teetotally, absolutely, completely, all the time, pure and holy? Do you believe that? Well, if you believe that, you've got some idea of the nature of God. If someone were to tell you, I would venture that if someone were to tell you that God is mean and punishes people for no reason, and he's just mean, and he's as mean as old Scratch, if someone told you that, you'd reject it. You wouldn't have it. You would know better than that. You want to know why? Because you too believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, here's the deal. The heroes of faith that are mentioned in Hebrews 11. The heroes of faith. First of all, they had to have faith to be heroes of faith. And y'all, they did what they did. The stuff they did is mind-boggling. The stuff that they did is impossible for a person who does not have faith. And the stuff that they did is through diligence too. So he says there, we believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. So I'm going to tell you that the heroes of the faith that one we're going to mention today is Noah, but you just read the rest of the book of 11th of Hebrews here. There's a whole bunch of heroes of the faith. And you'll see that all of them, they sought the Lord diligently. Diligently. They didn't seek the Lord haphazardly. They didn't seek the Lord intermittently. Y'all with me? They sought the Lord diligently. Now these heroes of the faith here that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, and I don't want to be bitter necessarily, but they're heroes of the faith. They're heroes of faith. They've never been on the Ellen DeGeneres show. They've never been in SI, Sports Illustrated. They've never been in Newsweek. They've never been in Time magazine. These people haven't. But can I tell you, the people that are mentioned here in Hebrews 11, today I just want to talk to you about one of them. These people are some of the greatest heroes that have ever lived on this planet. I mean, what they did is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay. Another thing that these people did that we'll notice as we go through Hebrews 11, as you read it, think about some of the heroes of the scriptures. I mean, they're listed here. They followed God. They followed God by faith. They sought the Lord diligently. Again, not haphazardly, not intermittently. Diligently they sought the Lord. Sometimes that diligent part, that's what gets us, isn't it? Sometimes we fall a little short of the diligent part. But these people here, not only did they do all of that, they accomplished great things against all odds. They accomplished these things against in the face of tremendous opposition. And some of them, they accomplished these things in the midst of cruel persecution. And they sought the Lord diligently. Nevertheless, are you with me? I'm willing to call that a hero, are you? I'm willing to call that a hero. Way above LeBron James. Now, LeBron James blows my mind. He blows my mind. I'd like to have, are these deltoids? I'd like to have shoulders like that, you know. What are you kidding? 135 pounds. Used to be, I weigh more than that now. I hope Brother Harold will not comment on that. You know, I weigh more than that now. But I mean, I wanted to be like that. I mean, you know, I'm serious. And it does blow my mind. But let me ask you, would you say that what he does is comparable to what Noah did? You follow what I'm saying? You follow what I'm saying? These are heroes of faith. Enoch walked with God. He's mentioned above, verse 5 here, verse 6. But Enoch walked with God so close that God took him. And y'all, they sent out a rescue party. Not a rescue party. They sent out a search party to try to find Enoch. And he was not found. You know why? God took him. There's a hero. That's someone to look up to more than almost anybody you can name. You follow what I'm saying? These are heroes of faith. So, and another thing these people did, they accomplished great things in the service of God. Again, some of the people that are mentioned here are not mentioned in the pages of history. They've never been on TV. They've never been interviewed by Oprah. They've never been in any of these, you know, that they never have. And they're some of the greatest people that have ever lived in the history of time. They did things that are far more difficult. You follow what I'm saying? Because see, some of these people that did these great things, they had to do those things and follow God by faith and diligently follow the Lord. You know what they had to do? They had to suppress their own carnal urges. Amen. And they had to endure mockery much of the time. Amen. I think about Noah a lot. That's what I want to talk to you about. Noah, at some point in his procedure, got the first timber laid out there in the yard. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know which timber he built first. I would think it'd be the bottom part. I don't have any idea. But whatever it was, he had a timber laying out there. And just imagine. It's almost funny. See, because Noah was warned about something that had never happened before. I'll get to that in just a minute. But anyway, some of these people did tremendous things and were belittled and made fun of by the society they lived in. So, let me ask you, if you follow God, are you going to be belittled by the society that you live in? If you follow the Lord diligently, are you going to be belittled by the society that you live in? You know, I was going to mention our pop culture. The pop culture that we have today, which I was going to call a pop goes the weasel culture, because it's just all over the place. You know you're going to be belittled a little bit. If you're a serious Christian, you're going to be belittled a little bit. I'm going to tell you, people aren't going to understand you. Amen. But anyway, so I'm just trying to think about the day that, you know, Noah had that first board laying out there, and people saying, "What are you doing?" Just think about that. It had never rained in the history of the world, and he's building a boat. Hey, Noah, what are you doing?
What are you making?
Anyway, okay. Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Seek him diligently. I mean, even if it hurts. Y'all, let me ask you this. Is it going to hurt your flesh to seek the Lord diligently? Is it going to hurt you any? Is there any way it's going to hurt you? That's part of the trouble, isn't it? You know, we want to seek the Lord. We have that inner man that wants to seek the Lord. We don't want anything other than to seek the Lord, but it hurts us also in the other part of us. It's just the weirdest thing in it, y'all. And you say, well, boy, I wish I didn't have to endure that dilemma. You better be glad you got that dilemma. You better be glad you got it. Is it part of the warfare, the difficulty of trying to live a Christian life, to follow the Lord diligently? That's part of it. These people that we're going to talk about today, Noah, he had that same dilemma. I wonder if Noah liked being made fun of. What do you think? He didn't like it. Do you? Okay. So verse 7 now. My first hero of faith is Noah. By faith, Noah. Notice he did this by faith. Being warned of God, I'm going to pause right there. You may remember now that, and y'all go back and read the Genesis account. I'm going to make some statements this morning that are from the Genesis account, like what I said a moment ago about it had never rained in the history of the world. That's from Genesis chapter 2, I forget exactly the verse, where it says that prior to the flood, the earth was watered by a mist that came up out of the ground. It had not rained yet. So when God told Noah, it's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights, I want y'all to know that had never happened ever before. That had never happened. So God says, hey Noah, I'm going to make it rain 40 days and 40 nights. And I got a job for you. He was warned of God. And the thing about Noah, when he was warned of God, one reason why he's one of my heroes, in my opinion, Noah's one of the greatest heroes in the Bible. I'm not going to say the greatest. He's one of the very greatest heroes of the Bible because of what he did and what he. So God told him about something that had never happened, and he believed it. He was warned of God. And you know what Noah did when he was warned of God? He listened. He paid attention. Let me ask you, have you ever been warned of God and not pay attention? You have, and so have I. I'm wondering if God is not trying to warn America a little bit today. And what I wonder is, are we going to pay attention? That's what I wonder. You know? Noah was warned of God. What did he do? He didn't just write it off. He didn't say, oh boy, I've been warned of God, and go about his business. You know, he was warned of God and he paid attention. He listened to what God said when God warned him. You know, we got a lot of warnings in here, don't we? A lot of warnings in here. You know what? We'd all be better off if we'd pay attention to the warnings of God. Will you even silently say amen to that? I mean, you know, whatever the warnings of God are contained in here, we'd be better off if we paid attention to them. Noah was warned of God, paid attention, and then the next thing there, he was warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now that's what I said a moment ago. It had never rained, and God's saying it's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, you know, like Noah could have said, okay, Lord, what's rain? You're going to, what? You understand what I'm saying? So, what do you do? Okay, what do you do when the Lord tells you something, or when the Lord tells you about something that you have never seen? What do you do? If the Lord tells you something's going to happen that you have never seen, what do you do? I hope you believe it. Because I want you to think about, there are still some things that we've been told about in God's Word that we have never seen. And I tell you right now, we can believe them. Did you know you've never seen God? You've never seen Him. The Scriptures even say nobody's ever seen Him. You've never seen Jesus. You ever seen Him? No, you haven't. But we believe, don't we, with all our hearts? See, it's the same exact, by faith. By faith, Noah was warned of God about things he had never seen, and he believed what God said. I tell you right now, you can do the same thing. And I'm going to tell you something else. When you believe the things of God, that about things that have not yet been seen, I'm going to say you are being very heroic according to what the Bible says. That's way better than slam dunking. I wish I could slam dunk. Not only that, I want to do one of them back around behind your back. You know, that's what I want to do. Spin around and make a big deal about it. Show off. I can't do that. But I'm telling you right now, you're far better off to believe what God tells you. Noah was warned of things not seen as yet. That just blows my mind. Okay? And he believed it. He sat up and paid attention when the Lord talked to him. He didn't ignore the Lord. He didn't just slough it off. He didn't just say, well, you know, that's interesting. You know, some that's the way some people approach the Bible. I'm not saying y'all, but there are people that they read the Bible and, you know, that's interesting. That's really interesting. I wonder how that compares with this or that or the other. Nope, that's not the way you read the Bible. You read the Bible, you say, this is God's Word. This is the Word of God. As if God were talking to me in English, that's when I read this. That's how powerful it is. And this is the God that cannot lie, speaking to me in His written Word. It is interesting. Don't misunderstand me. It's the most interesting book ever been written. But it's far more than just interesting. It's also authoritative and true. There's not a mistake in it. There's not a lie in it. Not a mistake in it. Not an error in it. There's not an untruth in it anywhere. Not only that, there's no inconsistency in it. There's no disjointedness in it. There's no contradiction in it. In God's Word. It's the most amazing thing. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Then it goes on just a little bit further and says, moved with fear. Well, now that's further evidence that Noah was a child of God. He had a fear. He feared God. And God's children, when they're born of God, they are God installs in them, I guess you'd say, or equips them with the fear of the Lord. I understand this to be, when I speak of the fear of the Lord that He gives you, I understand this to be some kind of understanding of what God is like as a result of the fact that you're born of God. You know, that's why you wouldn't believe it if someone tried to tell you that God acted like the devil. You wouldn't believe that, would you? Because you've got the fear of the Lord in there. And it also means, this fear of the Lord means a reverential attitude toward God and an awe, like you're standing before something completely awesome when you think about God. That's what the fear of the Lord is. Noah had that. But you know what? I think Noah had something else. He believed what God said about a flood coming for 40 days and 40 nights. And not just a flood like we had to mess up the, you know, Hollow Bend Park over here and messed up the road up to Petit Jean Mountain. I'm talking about a flood that was going to cover the whole earth. If I understand it correctly, that flood covered the whole earth something like 20-something feet above the highest peak on the earth. The whole earth covered by that much water. Noah believed it. Such a thing was unheard of. Noah believed it. Not only that, he feared. He was moved with fear. Not just that God was God, but I think he also knew that if he didn't do what God said do, it wasn't going to work out well for him, to say the very least. God said, Noah built this, and by the way, this thing that God told Noah to do, oh merciful heavens. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. God said, prepare this boat, you know, because I'm going to send a flood. And Noah not only had that reverential, are you listening? Not only had that reverential fear of God and understanding of what God was like, and because of regeneration, an understanding of what God was like, and understanding that he, Noah, was not God, and that there's no comparison. This is the reverential fear of God that we have as the children of God. But also, I think Noah also feared what would happen to him if he didn't obey. Amen. You ever fear that as well? Fear what's going to happen to me if I don't obey God? Now, I want to say something in response to that. The best way to obey God and the highest motive for obeying God is not fear of not to get out of being punished. The best motive, the highest motive to obey God is out of love for God because of what He's already done for us. I want that clearly understood. The best way, the highest way, the most honoring way to God for us to be obedient to Him is just out of love for Him because He is God and because He's our Savior. Not to escape punishment. But I'm going to say to you this morning, it's better to obey God to escape punishment than to disobey God. Now, the highest motive to obey God is out of love, just because of who He is. Let me ask you this. Will you ever get through honoring God, worshiping God, and serving God just because of who He is? Never. We'll never get there. But I think here, Noah not only honored God in that way, but he also knew it wasn't going to work out for him very well if he didn't obey God. I mean, that's just the way it is. It was the way it was for Noah. It's the way it is for us today. It's not going to work out well for us, as well for us, if we don't obey God. By the way, that is true on an individual basis. Each one of us is individuals. Families, husbands and wives, mothers and fathers and children. It's true for churches, and it's true for nations. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, notice what he did. Now, the next three words just say, prepared an ark. Three little words. He prepared an ark. Well, if you read over that and you don't go back and take a good look at the Genesis account, you can say, well, big, fat, hairy deal, he prepared an ark. Let me tell you, it is a big deal. I wish to say that this, I don't know how many years ago this was. I'm going to estimate 4,600 years, I don't know, a long, long time ago. And when Noah lived, as far as we understand, there were not Black and Decker power tools. I don't think he had a steel chainsaw. I mean, I just don't think so. He prepared an ark. I wrote the dimensions down. You want to know how big the ark was? It wasn't like burning out a birch bark canoe. Or, you know, cleaning out a birch bark canoe like the Native Americans used to do. I wouldn't even want to do that, would you? Do you want to build a canoe out of a log? Let's see you do that. You all want to do that? I don't even want to do that. I'm by nature lazy. You know how big the ark was? 450 feet long. I don't know how long the church is. I know how long a football field. A football field is 300 feet. Am I right about that? 100 yards, 300 feet? Okay, so it's a football field and a half long. No Black and Decker power tools. No steel chainsaw. He prepared an ark. I'm wanting y'all to see that he's a hero of the faith. Are you with me? He's a hero of faith. What he did is unbelievable, incredible. In fact, I'm not sure I'd believe it if it weren't in the Bible. I got to believe it because it's in the Bible. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall. Those are the dimensions of the ark according to the Old Testament. Now back there it says cubits. And all I did was take, you know, a cubit, which is about 18 inches, and I just multiplied it out. Instead of cubits, I put it in feet. So God told, and by the way, when God came down to Noah and he told him what was going to happen, and Noah believed everything that God told him, even though it never had happened before. By the way, you've never seen heaven either. You can believe it exists with all your heart because God says it does. Are you with me? And all of us believe that, don't we? In fact, all of us here probably, when we're thinking straight, we realize that's really our home. And there's something in you. I mean, there's just something in you, isn't there? There's just something in you that says, man, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. We're just strangers and pilgrims in this world. You've never seen heaven, but you've been warned of God about it. Something not yet seen, and you believe it, just like Noah did. So I think you're pretty heroic in that regard. But anyway, so he prepared this ark. Giant thing. And not only that, it had rooms, or as back in the book of Genesis, my Bible here says that word rooms could have been interpreted nests in the ark. So now, and so this giant thing, 450 feet by 75 feet by 45 feet, with all the rooms inside, it had three layers, three stories. All the rooms inside, it was pitched within and without with pitch. So I want you to realize when it says here in Hebrews 11:7, he prepared an ark, three little words, that is an enormous, tremendous undertaking that this man Noah undertook. And not only that, God gave him a long time. Go back and read. And I think when the Lord appeared to Noah, if I understand it correctly, Noah was about 500 years old. And I believe that just like the Bible says it. I hope you do too. And the Lord said, okay, I'm giving you 100, the years of the man is 120 years. What I think that means is God gave Noah 120 years to get the job done. Now look, y'all, this really happened. Noah was a real man. And God told him to build a real boat to save him from a real flood. Do you believe it? And he had no real power tools. And he didn't have a lot of help. If I understand it correctly, he just had his sons. And they built this boat. And God gave him 120 years. Okay, now, I'm not trying to be mean, but how are you going to react when the Lord appears to you and gives you a job of that size? I know what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, you need to talk to Ken Still. Ken Still's the engineer. Lord, you can't mean it. That's what I'd be saying. Talk to Ken Still. He can do it. Me? You're talking to me, Lord? Noah feared the Lord. He believed what God said. And he got started on the job. He did, y'all, what a hero. Now the Lord gave him 120 years. You want to know when the flood came according to the Genesis account? The flood came in the 600th year of Noah's life. I understand that to mean it took Noah 100 years, an entire century. I don't think anybody in our church has lived 100 years. We've got some people creeping up on it, and I'm so thankful for that. But I want y'all to know that's how long it took Noah to build the ark. He started when he was 500. The flood came when he was 600. I understand that to mean that he got the job done ahead of schedule. 100 years at hard labor to obey God. Doesn't that sort of make us all think, at least in some ways, how easy we have it?
Yes.
Doesn't it make you feel that way to some degree, how easy we have it? God's not asking you to build a boat without power tools and going to give you 100 years. Now, I want you to think. Now, I mentioned a minute ago, I'm wondering if Noah ever experienced any pushback from, you know, pushback on what he was doing. Just let me ask you this. I'm saying Noah was a hero of faith. I hope you believe Noah was a hero of faith. And not only was Noah a hero of faith, there's things we can learn from what Noah did. His steadfastness, his diligence, he didn't give up. He didn't quit. You know there are lots of God's children that quit? Did you know that? I heard a wise man once say, I forget, it was a coach that said this, I think. I don't remember which coach it was. It's been so many years ago. But his statement, it may have been, anyway, it doesn't matter. But this coach said, the measure of a man is not what he accomplishes. The measure of a man is what it takes to stop him. Was there anything that stopped Noah? Nothing stopped him. Now, I'm wondering if he got any pushback, any kickback from the... Y'all, listen. Here's this man doing this thing that's never been heard of, building this thing against a punishment that's never been heard of, and he's obeying God. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of people. Remember now, the scripture describes the world in which Noah lived as completely wicked. So a lot of the people that lived around Noah didn't have the faith that he had. They didn't fear God like he did. They wouldn't have believed what the Lord told them if the Lord had told them, maybe. But no, so I'm wondering if any of the people that lived around him might have said, Noah, you're an idiot. You're crazy, Noah. You know, faith sometimes looks a little like crazy, doesn't it? I learned that from Glenn Blanchard. Faith sometimes looks a little crazy. Noah, you got to be kidding. It's going to do what? So you got all these people with no faith around him that wouldn't have believed what God had told him, and he's obeying God. And he spent 100 years undergoing no telling how much mockery. I mean, there's just no telling. But he didn't quit. He didn't stop. And he built that boat just exactly like God. And that's one thing I love about it. He built that boat just exactly like God said, build it. Now, how many of you would have said, you know, Lord, we might make a little change over here. It might be better if we did this. And maybe say such things to the Lord? Well, we may not mean it like that, but we say, Lord, you know, I know it says in the Bible this, but it surely is not going to hurt if we change it a little bit and do this instead. You ever heard any of that kind of stuff? Noah was a hero of the faith. He didn't do that. He did what God told him to the nth degree, did exactly what God told him, didn't change what God told him, built it just like God told him, and it took him a long time to do it. It was a big job. Can I tell you, all of us that are going to try to follow the Lord, it's a big job. You know what it really is? It's a lifetime job. That does not mean that young people should not take up their cross and follow Christ. Young people should, the Bible even says it's good for young men to take up his cross, bear the yoke. Young people ought to take up their cross and follow Christ and get with the program early on, but it's something you never get done with it. And I'm going to also tell you, there's a degree to which, as you age, you realize how miserably short you fall, right? You realize how miserably short you fall. Even when you're trying, you're still falling short. We got to trust in God's grace. Well, finally, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark, and the last statement, to the saving of his house. You know what would have happened if Noah hadn't built the ark? He'd be in the fossil record. Y'all with me? He'd be in the fossil record with all the rest of the fossils. He built the ark, and what did it do? Y'all listen, did it just save Noah? By the way, when it says save here, obviously, we're not talking about it saved the family for eternal heaven, for heaven's sake. It saved them from drowning in the flood, right? That's what it saved them from drowning in the flood. But please notice that Noah's obedience didn't just save him. It saved others that he loved as well. Would y'all be willing to say he was a hero of faith? Look what he did against the odds. It's absolutely unbelievable. With that, Mike, we're going to discontinue the live stream, and I'm going to step down out of this pulpit, and we're going to sing a hymn. I'm going to ask all of you.